What did the tree wear to the pool party?
I don't know. What?
Swim trunks.
It's time for the Children's Hour. Kids Public Radio.
There are trees in California that grow so big and tall. You could saw your way to China and you'd never see them fall. Well, I've been there and I've seen those trees and think they're mighty fine. But they do not hold a candle when they're standing next to mine. 'Cause I got this tree I planted about a year or so ago. It's got leaves and stems and all the things that trees need when they grow. There are trees, they say, in Brooklyn that can withstand any pain. They thrive on the pollution and they don't need any rain. Well, these trees, I've never seen them, but to trees I'd give a hand. You could probably take the dirt away and they'd find a way to stand. 'Cause I got this seed I planted about a year or so ago. It's got leaves and stems and all the things that trees need when they grow.
That's the Green Chili Jam Band with Trees. You're listening to the Children's Hour. I'm Katie Stone. I'm here with a lot of great people at the Outpost Performance Space in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and on Zoom. Hello, everyone.
Hi.
And who do we have with us today?
Hi, it's Illuminata.
Hi, it's Nina.
Hi, it's Thorfinn.
Hello, this is Cade.
Yellow, it's Haley.
Hi, it's Amaya.
Hey, it's Evan.
It's Daniel.
Hi, it's Joe.
Well, thanks for being here, everyone, on Zoom and at the Outpost. We're here today in a really exciting show. We're going to be learning about trees and forests. I'm guessing that we've got some forest lovers here on the Children's Hour crew. Any of you really into forests?
Forests are cool, yeah.
I love rainforests because there's like so many creatures and animals and plants.
Forests are partially the reason of our existence, so.
Yeah. And you know what, Nina, we're going to be learning exactly that, how we are dependent upon forests and trees as living beings on this planet. And the power that trees have to keep the planet alive is amazing. We're going to learn so much more about it from Wild Earth Guardians, Dr. Lisa Markovcek. This show also comes with a learning guide that meets and cites national education standards. You'll find that at childrenshour.org. Just look for this episode, Forests.
If trees could talk, what tales they tell, I'm sure they'd get so gabby that the tongues would swell. The chatter away about the seedling days of 100 years ago is a long, long way. If I were a tree, well, I'd grow all gnarly. My roots would be knobby and my limbs all snarly. And moss on my back and squirrels on my knees would grow old and wise. If I were a tree, if I were a tree, I'd have lots of friends. The wind would take me dancing when she came around again. I'd have ants and owls and bears and bees. Everybody likes to live in a tree. If I were a tree, well, I'd grow all gnarly. My roots would be knobby and my limbs all snarly. And moss on my back and squirrels on my knees would grow old and wise. If I were a tree, if I were a tree, guess what kind? A bristlecone or limber or a white bark pine. Or maybe a willow or a big dog fir. Or maybe an oak tree of the kind called burr. If I were a tree, well, I'd grow all gnarly. My roots would be knobby and my limbs all snarly. And moss on my back and squirrels on my knees would grow old and wise. If I were a tree, kind of the trees, 'cause they're older than you. No telling their adventures that they've been through. So next time you go out and climb a tree, don't break no branches, 'cause it might be me. If I were a tree, well, I'd grow all gnarly. My roots would be knobby and my limbs all snarly. And moss on my back and squirrels on my knees. I'd grow old and wise if I were a tree. If you were a tree, how would you feel if they caught you and they gouged you? Oh, what a deal. Someday you'd wake up, it's smart to find someone carved their initials in your behind. If I were a tree, well, I'd grow all gnarly. My roots would be gnarly and my limbs all snarly. The moss on my back and squirrels on my knees. I'd grow old and wise if I were a tree. So next time you're out walking in the woods, talk to the trees and make them feel so good. If you're a friend and you're feeling snug, go ahead and reach out and give them a hug. If I were a tree, well, I'd grow all gnarly. My roots would be gnarly and my limbs all snarly. And moss on my back and squirrels on my knees. I'd grow old and wise if I were a tree. If I were a tree, well, I'd grow all gnarly. My roots would be gnarly and my limbs all snarly. And moss on my back and squirrels on my knees. I'd grow old and wise if I were a tree. If I were a tree. If I were a tree.
That's If I Were a Tree by Jim Stoltz off of A Kid for the Wild. You're listening to the Children's Hour. I'm Katie Stone. I'm very happy to be here with a lot of kids on Zoom and at the Outpost Performance Space in Albuquerque, New Mexico. With us today is Dr. Lisa Markovcik. She is a scientist at Northern Arizona University in Flagstaff, Arizona, and she's an ecologist for a nonprofit called Wild Earth Guardians. Welcome to the Children's Hour.
Thank you. I'm very excited to be here. I recognize some of your voices from listening to other episodes, and it's really nice to see you in person.
Well, we're happy that you're with us, too. Your study includes how plants, fungi, and animals work together in cooperation. And I think that some people may be surprised to learn that plants and mushrooms, mycelia, can actually work together. Forests are really special places, aren't they?
So special.
Why?
Well, some of our mature and old growth forests support species that can't live anywhere else, just for starters. As trees get older, they can also store a lot of carbon and continue to trap a lot of carbon from the air, which helps us with climate change. In the very near term, some of our larger trees do that more efficiently and more reliably and faster. And on top of that, there's a whole bunch of unseen, unheard communication and partnerships and all sorts of different dynamics going on.
How many different kinds of trees is needed to make up a forest?
It's not necessarily about how many different types of trees. It's usually more about the fact that there are trees and how much canopy cover there is, how old in particular some of those trees are, and the kinds of environment they can create. So for instance, if we have a lot of shade and a lot of fallen logs and a lot of what we call microclimates, which just means climates in little areas, so for instance, under logs and rocks and protection from wind, then it houses a lot more plants and animals. And the older those forests get, there tend to be more and more and different kinds of species that can live in them or need them for certain things like shelter.
How old are the oldest forests?
That is a great question. So I want to know, have you ever been around a being that's older than 200 years old? Anybody?
Maybe tree.
I just visited a cottonwood that was about, 7 miles from here on my way here. It was 160 years old that they know of, but there's even more impressive ones. Bristlecone pines can be 5,000 years old. And even you guys maybe are familiar with like creosote bushes, even though we don't necessarily consider them a forest. They're more of a desert, but they can also be really old. They can be 11,000 years old.
Wow. Now, for listeners listening everywhere else than the desert they don't look like much. They look like a little bush. Like if you saw one, you'd be like, oh, that's just an ugly bush. But they're really pretty amazing little, are they considered a tree?
They're trees. Oh, yeah.
So if a bush is a bush and a tree is a tree, what actually makes a tree and not just a plant?
So generally speaking, let's start with what's a plant? What's a plant?
It's a living organism that photosynthesizes to get what it needs.
Yeah, exactly right. It captures energy from the sun. It traps carbon from carbon dioxide in the air and stores it inside of itself, in its roots and its trunks and its leaves. It's also producing food. Basically, everything we eat is either a plant or has been fed by a plant. So then, what's a tree? We talked a little bit about that. It usually has more like one trunk, and they get really big and thick. If you think about a bush, they might have multiple stems coming out of the ground, and they're usually thinner because there's a whole bunch of them. And they're kind of sprawly, and it's really cool, actually, because as some trees grow older and grow old, they become trees, but they could start out looking like a bush. So, for instance, our junipers that we have around here, they can start out looking very sprawly, and they have lots of stems. And if they never get old, then they never actually become the tree that they could be. But as they get older, there's pictures of these same junipers with these huge trunks, and they're really tall, and they have a canopy way up in the air. And that is actually the same plant. It's just whether it's a youngster or whether it's an old tree.
That's Dr. Lisa Barkovchik from Wild Earth Guardians. We have a learning guide with this episode. You can find it at childrenshour.org. Look for forests.
Trunk, roots, crown, bark, cambium.
A tree has roots, a trunk, and a crown. The trunk grows up, and the roots grow down. The roots grow down and spread all around and hold the tree firmly in the ground. Hold the tree, hold the tree, hold the tree, hold the tree, hold the tree firmly in the ground.
Parts of a Tree by Marias and Miranda off of Nature Songs.
How are trees connected and how do they communicate?
So they don't have like a centralized brain like we do, like animals do. Anyone want to guess why?
Gosh, that is such a good question. I never really thought about if trees had a brain.
They don't really need it.
But they are breathing, and they breathe in air, and they are expiring. They are breathing out oxygen. So we know that that's happening in their leaves. So in a way, their leaves are breathing in and out.
I think it's because of like heat, and like they can feel the sun. They're connected in like tree roots. And so maybe they can like see that, okay, they're like really close together maybe.
I feel like it's probably has something to do with evolution and how with tertiary levels, which is basically the food chain, how animals need something to eat. And so something needs to produce that first so more energy can continue going up to smaller animals to larger animals, right?
Yeah, why would it be advantageous if you're liable to get eaten, or parts of you are, to not have a centralized brain or heart or...
So it could regrow, because if you're saying that's easy to get destroyed, you don't want to have a centralized brain, because if that gets destroyed, then you can't grow up. But if it doesn't have a centralized brain, even if parts of it gets eaten, the rest of it can still grow up.
Exactly. So there's a whole bunch of people out there studying how plants can do all these different things that we might not normally think of. So they don't have eyes, but can they see? They're actually using the sun, right? So they have photoreceptors in their leaves. So they don't have eyes, but they can indeed sense light because they're actually looking for the light to use it to make energy. And so they can do things like that. They can also, they don't have ears, but there's folks out there studying how they use vibrations. So in a way, kind of like some of the insects and spiders and things that don't have ears as well, they sense vibrations. And they use the vibrations kind of as a surrogate for sound, because sound is just a wave. It is a vibration. And so there's folks out there looking at how they actually produce certain frequencies. And if you play those frequencies back to them, they'll actually grow towards the sound. Or let's say you have water in a pipe. So the plant can't sense the moisture from the water, but it'll still grow towards the sound, even if it's just the sound of water. So they can do a whole bunch of things that we often don't think about, or maybe we have words for that we only use for animals. But they do these things. They move. They can grow faster to get back into the sunlight if they're in the shade. They can make room for their neighbor. And they actually use chemicals. So rather than talking, for instance, they can communicate with these things we call volatile organic chemicals. They will release different ones to communicate different things so they can actually tell their neighbors when they're sick or when they're getting attacked and call in the predators of the animal that's eating them. So if there's, say, an aphid eating them, they can send out chemical signals that actually call for the other type of insect that likes to eat that one to come on in and chow down.
That's incredible. So what you're saying is that the trees we see anywhere in the forest, on the street corner, they have a whole complex system of communication that not only with their immediate surroundings, so vibrationally through the ground, but also chemically through like pheromones and smells? Is that how they're doing it?
Volatile organic compounds or chemicals that they release into the air. There's also, you know, I study mycorrhizal fungi, and they're in the roots. If you're going to come into somebody's house, what's the first thing that has to happen?
Knock.
Knock. And then they're going to want to know who's there, right? Before they let you in. They're not going to let just anybody in. Well, plants and fungi, if they're going to work together and kind of invade each other's space, right, to form some kind of exchange organ, then they have to knock on the door and say, who's there? So there's a whole chemical signaling that has to happen in order for the plant to say, well, who are you and what do you want?
So other than calling for help, what do trees speak about through the chemicals?
We're still trying to figure it out. So there are many different compounds they can release. It looks like they can release them through the air as well as their roots and potentially through their mycorrhizal fungi. But we don't know what all the different compounds mean. So it could be like words, right? Or letters even, where they have different combinations that mean different things. So there are some where people have identified that, oh, that one means, you know, that something's eating them and they're calling for help or they're not feeling good. But there are other ones that we still don't know what they mean.
That's Dr. Lisa Markovchik from Wild Earth Guardians, and she's teaching us about forests. You can learn a lot more with us at our learning guide. It's posted to childrenshour.org. Look for forests. There's a lot more to learn with Dr. Lisa Markovchik from Wild Earth Guardians. Stick with us and learn with us.
You're listening to the Children's Hour, Kids Public Radio. We'll be right back.
The Children's Hour is a production of the Children's Hour Incorporated. We're a New Mexico-based nonprofit organization, and we're funded by listeners just like you. Learn more at childrenshour.org. New Mexico Department of Cultural Affairs supports the Children's Hour. Celebrate the diverse cultural communities of New Mexico at nmculture.org. The Children's Hour and Global Kirky present Global Kirkito School Day Mini Fest, featuring performances by Robert Mirabal from Taos Pueblo and French Canadian Melisande. Stream the fun live on Friday, March 13th, starting at 10 a.m. Mountain Time. Sign up at childrenshour.org.